Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There is confusion today in the White House over just how and when to roll out President Trump's planned tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. It appears the president is considering exempting some of our allies, including Canada, Mexico, and Australia, but details are still very uncertain. However, if the president proceeds with his 10% tariff on foreign aluminum and 25% on foreign steel, Detroit News business columnist Daniel House has a three-word warning: unintended consequences loom. Daniel, what kinds of unintended consequences?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, if you're a domestic automaker and you're buying steel and aluminum to manufacture cars, trucks, and SUVs, your prices are going to go up, even if the lion's share of it comes from U.S. producers. Already there are reports that U.S. steel and aluminum producers are raising prices even before these things are enacted into law, and that's going to have an impact on the cost structure of these companies. That's one potentially serious consequence. Even more so if foreign governments start to retaliate, which I think they've already signaled that they would do, then you have something that starts to metastasize and widen. I mean, if they all of a sudden slap tariffs on Harley-Davidson's coming out of Wisconsin, as an example, or bourbon coming out of Kentucky, or Levi jeans coming out of San Francisco, which all, by the way, happen to be represented by very prominent politicians in Congress.
Yes.
All that does is continue to widen. So I think one of the real concerns here is that it snowballs and we're looking at 2.5%, 3% growth in the economy, and all of a sudden, does that start to ratchet back? What impact does that have on already plateauing auto sales, for example? Do people start to say, I guess I can keep driving this car for a little bit longer. I don't really need to do this right now. And I think that's one of the other fears, is that what the Brits call the knock-on effect. How does one thing affect another, affect another, affect another, and then all of a sudden, you're looking at substantially slowing growth?
And you've got a president tweeting, trade wars are good.
Well, we also have a president that isn't a very good student of history. Trade wars usually end up hurting a lot more people than they're designed to solve. You know, and when this president starts to run for re-election and comes back to the Midwest, he may be faced with a very different picture than he thinks. I mean, he may be welcomed as the conquering hero in steel towns and by some steel mills, but auto plants, I'm not so sure. Again, in Wisconsin, at the Harley-Davidson plant, not so sure. And these are his core voters. These are the people that have supported him the first time. I think he doesn't have a very good understanding of how all of this fits together. And also the fact that he makes these pronouncements, and to the point you said at the open, doesn't have the details, is very problematic. It's not new for him, but it's problematic. I talked to a member of Congress yesterday that said, we don't have the details. Other members of Congress are writing letters and saying, you know, please be more targeted. If China is the problem and Russia is the problem and Brazil is the problem, focus what we're doing here on steel and aluminum coming out of those countries. Don't impact Canada and Mexico. Don't use this as leverage over NAFTA negotiations. Don't get into a big cock-up with the people in the EU. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't seem to be sympathetic to that argument.
Well, his tweets are not aimed at China and Russia. His tweets have been smacking at Canada and Europe.
Oh, that's exactly right. And as a lot of your listeners know, the renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement has been going on for some period mm-hmm. of time. And I think the administration is very clear that they're using the threat of these tariffs against Canadian steel primarily as leverage in these negotiations. We buy more steel in the United States from Canada, I believe, than any other country. They are a major player. We consume more than we produce, so we have to import steel into our industry and our manufacturing industries, which is not just autos, by the way. It's a lot of hard goods, durable goods, food service, all sorts of other things.
And as U.S. carmakers get hit with potential double-digit increases for their metal, what's going to happen with the foreign competitors?
Well, that's an interesting point. And my understanding is that cars that are made in Germany, South Korea, Japan, as three examples, and brought into the United States, and they're assembled with finished foreign steel. So it's foreign steel that is in those panels, in the bodies of those vehicles, pay a 2.5% import tariff. So if you're looking, if you're a domestic manufacturer and you're looking at steel getting a 25% tariff, you're going to be disadvantaged because all these manufacturers, while they do assemble vehicles in the United States, They do not assemble all the vehicles in their portfolio in the United States. So there are Mercedes and BMWs and Volkswagen and Audi brand vehicles that are manufactured outside the United States but are sold to Americans in American dealerships. So I think the fear right there from the companies is you're going to put us at a cost disadvantage, and that's not right. So what does the administration do? I think the expectation is, well, let's just slap tariffs on those cars too. You can see how this very quickly snowballs. You know, the president of the United States is not king of the world. And these other foreign nations, they're sovereign, and they are well within their rights to react to protect their own industries if all of a sudden they are being disadvantaged in one of the largest markets, in a lot of ways, the largest market in the world.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.